IndieCan Music presents the Toronto Indie Scene with your hosts, Joe Chisholm and Andre Skinner, bringing you an hour of Toronto's best new music and a look behind the scenes with industry insiders and artists.
We're delighted to have Cam Carpenter of XM Satellite Radio here as our special guest later in the show, but first, live from IndieCan, it's Galore.
Hi, we're Galore. This is a song from our new record, Amplifier. It's called Come On Times 3. Here we go. Good times.
A little bit about how the band came together.
And you are?
I'm Barry from the band. I guess I'll give you the rundown. The band more or less has been together for a couple of years now under the name Galore. The name Galore has existed for a couple of years, and Tim and I, and actually Kevin way back when in Galore Mach 1, we're all together. We were playing with a guy named Neil Layton, who has his own label called Fading Ways. He's now in Europe, spending most of his time out there. We put out a record called Parader in 2003. And then we had other bass players. A bass player named Edward Pond came in, and and played with us for a while and helped us out on the recording and stuff. And then Kev came back and we got this new guitar player named Paul Cahias, who is...
It's been hell ever since.
There you go, exactly. But he's a Toronto resident, but he was out west for a while, and then yeah. He came back to TO, and I can let Paul...
They saw me once in a bar, in a uncrowded bar, and they came and asked if I wanted to be part of something. And they invited me to play in a side project that never really got off the ground, but Galore was still an ongoing concern, and we just sort of morphed, we just changed... It was the same front line, but the drummer changed, and it was Galore Mach 4.
Oh, the drummer never changed.
The drummer
changed. No. There was a...
The side project had a different drummer.
That's right.
The
side project had...
Yes.
And I used to be in a band in Vancouver called John Ford, and they were some sort of goofy buzz band sort of band for a while and, shifted, the requisite, 400 units and... toured many times across this country, losing lots of money, and I hadn't actually played any music with anybody for about a year and a half. It didn't have been a session stuff, and it was only because these guys were, their music was good. They were really super people, and they drank the right drinks.
There you go.
Very important. Kevin, weren't you with National Anthem for
a
while?
Yes, I was in the rock and roll band National Anthem from 2000 to 2006.
I guess National Anthem is lately, recently departed.
Recently deceased, yes.
But there will be a reunion tour in 2008.
Can't wait. Show me the
money. And the bookers are trying to get the right price right now. And, the word is Todd Rundgren might be...
Yeah, is he taking the role of me?
It'll be a new National Anthem.
How did you get in this band?
They're a new rock star.
And this rock and roll band, me and Barry are both from Halifax. So I know Barry from the old Halifax scene. From
way back.
Yeah, he used to be in a band called Kubla Halo, and I was in a band called the Grace Babies.
Cool. Speaking of Halifax, you guys were out at the Junos. You guys played a party.
Oh, yeah, we played... every year with the Junos now. They do this thing called Juno Fest, which is kind of like a... hundreds of bands descend upon whatever the host city is and play all the local clubs. And so this year it was really cool. I mean, we were out there. Sloan was out there, Ron Sexsmith, Come On, tons of bands. And we played on Friday night, and it was awesome. It was our first time ever playing Halifax, and the Halifax people really showed us a lot of love, and local radio really dug it, and so we hope to go back out there again probably in the summer. Yeah. And do some more East Coast dates because they like their rock and roll out there.
Nice.
Lots of artist participation.
So you guys didn't play back when you lived in Halifax, is that the idea?
Not as Galore, because Galore was more or less a Toronto concern. That was the first real coming out party for
cool.
Galore.
Debutantes.
Now, did you just show up and play, or did you do a lot of promotion before you played in Halifax?
Thankfully, with it being the Juno Awards and stuff, the promotion end was kind of really taken care of. It's kind of one of those things like Canadian Music Week or North by Northeast. There's kind of going to be a built-in crowd. And we were on a bill with, three other bands, most of them hailing from the East Coast. And the Juno people, of course, did tons of promo, and there's, all these programs. And I think one newspaper article mistakenly said we were nominated for Juno.
Oh, wicked.
That works.
We were Juno nominated galore.
Did we win?
I don't think we won.
That wasn't your own press release, was it?
Yeah, I think it was the best legs category. And I think we lost out to Sarah Sleen. Or something.
So do you see yourself being nominated for a Juno one year?
Next year.
It's already in. It's going to happen next year.
Yeah. Oh, well, pick a category then.
Best female singer.
Next year. Best
best legs?
Just the best. Simply the best. It'd be cool. I think the Junos... could probably stand to nominate more
independent acts,
yeah. Rock acts, acts that aren't necessarily on Canadian Idol. if we have to get on Canadian Idol to get nominated, maybe that's something that we'll consider. But for the time being, I think, you know,
don't do it.
Yeah, I think for the time being, we'll stick to the current career path. But no, I mean, that sort of stuff is cool. You know, we know people who have been nominated and that sort of thing, and I think most people just treat it as an excuse to have a big party and go out and meet a bunch of other musicians that you respect and that sort of thing. And so on that level, it's probably a pretty cool thing.
There is the Juno Cup that's really cool, a hockey game.
Yes.
Yeah.
Nice. Where the musicians take on the old retired NHL people.
That's I think. Cool.
And yeah. Luke Doucette was their goalie.
Yeah.
I got to send out some props to my boy Luke. He did wonderfully.
Can you give us a play-by-play on the game?
Shoot, just no, you do it. He got into the VIP box.
No, there was no. I don't know if we could do a play-by-play, but it was good. It was actually very fun. I thought, you know, this will be interesting, but it was actually some pretty good hockey. Alan Doyle from Great Big Sea was the goalie for the Rock and Roll team. He was actually really good.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, very shocking. I was surprised.
Yeah, I hear the Hip can play a little hockey too.
I don't think any of their contingent was there this year. Jim Cuddy was there, and
probably a lot of guys from the Exclaimed Cup were there.
Sorry,
I said probably a lot of the guys from the Exclaimed Cup were there.
I'm playing in the Halifax team this year.
Are you?
Too. Yeah, Halifax cool. Dartmouth Fairies. Go Tugs, go!
we're also going to be part of the festivities for Rink Rock, which is the we're the organ in between periods.
Nice.
The human organ.
The human organ.
So rather than bip, 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 you'll get to hear, you know, 30 seconds of Life in the Fast Lane.
Nice.
that sort of thing. And yeah. And we're also on call for any Leafs games if the opportunity arises, you know, if they want to do that. I think it'd be a great idea.
Yeah, I think you're scheduled for postseason, so get ready.
Yeah, we'll be on the golf course.
We're scheduled for
the
postseason, but they are not.
That's right.
Okay, we're going to get back to the music for your second song. What are you guys going to play?
Ooh, the second song, I think, is going to be another rocker from the record called The Amanda Effect, and it certainly goes out to any females with the name of Amanda.
And all cowbell lovers in general.
And all cowbell lovers.
Beautiful.
As Tim would say.
Let's rock out.
All right.
Let's do it.
Time for the broken hearts, but she came in like a thief. Now I'm struck down beyond belief. See the rise of the way that she wears her hair. Love is blind when all you can do is stare. Let's go on tracks. There she's going, and she won't. No fun to be so far down. She's the one who came to stay, just to have me push away now. And she blew me to pieces just like a bomb. Now she's gonna be the star of all my songs. Yeah, let's go on tracks. Now she's gone and she won't be. Train. I was one of the other night. I'll ride.
Okay, that's enough. It wasn't that good.
There you go. Thanks, man.
Not enough cowbell.
Not enough cowbell.
You can't always have enough cowbell.
So tell us about the songwriting process. Is everyone involved in this, or how does it come down?
Well, for the last two records, I guess primarily it was me who was doing the songwriting. But now that, and I think that was probably just more than anything a function of probably the fact that people in the band weren't really coming forward with songs. Like when Kev was in the band first stuff, he was also with National Anthem, and so naturally songs were going to be going there for him. And so now that there are, you know, a wealth of songwriters in the band, it's certainly a lot more collaborative, and that's a good thing, because, you know, God knows I have my spells, my dry spells, and so if we don't want an album full of Gregorian chants, it's good to have other people involved.
So it's nice to have some wet spots.
That's right. And yeah, I think just as a band now, we're really starting to find our own voice, so we're starting to collaborate on songs as well, and everybody's throwing in their, you know, two cents, and so it's the next record, God knows, you know.
It's going to be interesting. But it's going to still rock, but I mean, I'm outside of the whole process. I've just come into the group, you know, in the last year. But, you know, the way I see their trajectory was they made their great 70s record, they made their 80s record, and now we're going to make, you know, something that may embody a whole bunch of the, you know, I don't know if it's going to be contemporary, it's going to be shifting back to the 40s. It doesn't matter.
This is the 40s record.
Yeah. but it's going to be fun. It's still going to rock. It's going to still sound like Galore, because the elements are still there. I mean, if Barry opens up his mouth or I open up my mouth, it still sounds like it. I don't know. It sounds like the record, but it sounds like the record really live now.
What are your hopes for the record? What is what do you have set up in terms of distribution, and when do you give up your day jobs?
Not soon enough. The record is currently on a label from Chris Case and RCD Music. It's a label called Burr Records, and I think Chris has been a guest on your show before. And they have distribution through Fontana North, which is distributed through Universal. So it's like this big, long sentence of distributors and labels. But basically, Burr Records through Fontana and Universal. And it's cool. I mean, it's, you know, it's kind of the lay of the land these days, even with indie labels. It's the indie labels that have major label distribution that tend to get things in stores, that tend to... And that's not to say that others don't. I mean, certainly Mint and Scratch and a lot of labels from out west have done great, you know, without getting involved with major label distributors. Maybe it's a function of being in Toronto, but it seems like a lot of indie labels in Toronto are kind of veering towards that path of having a little bit of the major muscle if they need it. And, you know, what that means basically is we get in a release book from Universal, and perhaps people will be more inclined to look at. Perhaps there will be some radio resources, which we have used through our pals in Universal out east. And so, you know, it's early days yet, but so far so good. I mean, the record just came out 2 weeks ago, I guess, so, you know, and already we've been getting a lot of good love from the radio out east and Montreal and stuff, so it can only go through the roof from here.
Yeah. So how long since it's been recorded? When did you guys actually finish it?
Boy, well, I think the record was recorded, Tim, I think it was like, was it last summer that we finished it, or last...
I've forgotten.
Yeah, it was a long time ago. It's been in the can for a long time. I think probably last summer was when we put it to bed and got it mastered and stuff. And so in between now and then, we've just been, you know, talking to different people about, you know, different labels and that sort of thing, and just trying to get the word out about the band by playing a lot more and trying to set it up that way. And so now, now that that's happened... now the real work begins, and now it's a matter of touring and
basically, yeah, playing
touring and whoring,
yeah, playing to people.
That was Galore live at IndyCan. We've got one more song from them. Get ready for Lay It Back Down.
Hi, this is Paul Cahias from Galore, and I hear it first on the Toronto Indie Scene.
To unfold chapters of my life and see what's in. shaking on the lawn. Demons disappointed, fighting on his dog. School makes us more stupid. We really want to go. Learn to play, buy their music, forced to hang with shitty bros. Get drunk, eat shit, fuck around, have filthy you. The dirty ghosts have finally enrolled in a school whose curriculum is gold. They pull the train to be good doctors. They watch cool from their pro track pass. Shit can't time to hate. You must buy dirty ghosts, not be late. Put the shit can out on the law. Dingo's disappointed, buy shit on a dog. School makes us more stupid. We really want to go, learn to play, buy their music, forced to hang with shitty bros. Get drunk, eat shit, fuck around and filthy you. Get drunk, eat shit, fuck around and filthy you. Get drunk, eat shit, fuck around and filthy you.
We opened up with The Salads from our advanced copy of The Big Picture. That's coming out for everybody else May 6th.
What'd you think of that, by the way?
Oh, I can't wait. I think they're great, and they should come see us.
Straight out of the gate, that first track was just super hot.
Up next was Spaceship Blues. How's this for a new music category for you? Retro-futuristic. Cranking up the Les Paul guitar and the Marshall amps there. I liked it. You liked it?
Intense and authoritative guitar riffs right there is pretty serious business.
Now, that last song we heard, what the hell was that all about?
Well, I could only imagine the song being called Get Drunk, Eat Shit. I don't know the name of the song. I looked all over for the title. Anyway, that was track 14 off of Brutal Nights, The Pleasure Is All Thine. I know Nick, and he is one crazy motherfucker. So there you go. That just exemplifies what kind of stuff they do. They're doing great, by the way. They're being played all over CBC, and they're on a U.S. tour currently and coming back to Toronto soon. So I really want to catch a live show. I've seen a lot of photos, and they look pretty interesting. On with the music. We're going to get to
Spiral Beach. Some MySpace Friends of Indie Can. This is a young group influenced by the Beatles, Talking Heads, Radiohead, and this is a song called Voodoo.
Make a big mistake, man. This is Cameron Carpenter from XM Satellite Radio, and you're listening to the Toronto Indie Scene.
Trees and birds and bats and bees, when children fall, they hurt their knees. Sounds that start and end like bees and cheese, so won't you stop?
That was Only Forward with their track Trees, and we thank Diane Foy for bringing that to our attention. Time for our industry insider, and we're both quite excited about who we've got in the studio. Amongst other credentials, this is the man who discovered Sloan.
Okay, we've got Cam Carpenter here at IndieCan Studios for our Industry Insider this week. Welcome, Cam.
Hi, thanks for having me.
And thanks for coming down. We're going to start talking about the Junos a little bit.
You were at the Junos. Mm-hmm. Can you give us a breakdown from your point of view, the good, the bad, and the ugly?
The good was the city of Halifax. The city was absolutely crazy. Everywhere you went from Thursday afternoon on, signs everywhere, people on the streets, every different Juno event that there was thousands of kids lined up. So the whole city embraced the Junos. We did a kickoff concert on the Thursday night with Matt Mays, Joel Plaskett, The Trues, Jimmy Rankin. There was 16,000 people outside on a Thursday night in Halifax, so that was incredible.
What kind of venue was it?
Outdoor. It was in City Square at City Hall. So Amazing. We just erected a huge stage. And
Yeah. Positive move, moving it out of
Crossed our fingers with the weather.
Yeah, moving it out of the Toronto area.
Yeah.
Where Toronto is such a big ticket item. I mean, they can't appreciate it the way Halifax or Saskatoon or
St. John's or Edmonton, Winnipeg. It's been an incredible move.
Yeah.
It'd be really interesting to see next year in Saskatoon how they do. But every city it's ever been in has done incredibly well, so...
Yeah, I think that's great because it's a Canadian thing and, you know, we have that reputation of treating Toronto like the center of the universe.
Mind you, it hasn't been in Toronto for a really long time.
Yeah.
It's been in Hamilton, but it hasn't been in Toronto proper for a long time.
Last time I was there was when Guess Who was inducted and Rick Mercer was the host and mm-hmm. it was in Hamilton. And for Hamilton, that's a big deal and they seem to appreciate it.
Yeah, but it got a little complacent there as well, so it was time to move on and take it on the road and... It's been incredibly successful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so moving is a good thing. The bad and the ugly, what would you alter or improve or think that would make the Juno experience better?
I don't know if I'd alter or improve or change anything. You know, the Junos are what they are. It's a television show to sell advertising and Canadian music. I think CTV does an incredible job of promoting it. They've really stepped up to the plate in the last 4 or 5 years. People are going to question the nominees every year, but the only way to change that is become a member of Keras and get in a fight for who you want to. Get on the boards. And you know, I ran the Rock Committee for years. I've heard all the arguments, but at least I'm there doing something about it and fighting for the bands I want. So I don't really think I'd change anything. And there's, you know, the politics of putting on that show are incredible. You're only having, you know, 8 awards on the air out of 35. So there's the politics of what goes on and what doesn't. And which labels get what performers. It's an incredible juggling act, so I think they pull it off every year, and you can't really bitch too much.
Yeah, it's anyone who wants to bitch, get in there and do a better job is your response to them.
Yep.
What about for independent acts, Canadian independent acts? Do you think they get a fair shot at winning Junos?
Sure, Broken Social Scene won, you know, the second year in a row. Feist won.
Arcade Fire
won Songwriter, which is incredible.
That was impressive. I like that.
There is some block voting by the majors, but there always has been, even though no one will admit it. But you're going to vote on your company lines. If you're working for Warner Brothers, you're going to vote for your artist over someone else's.
Yeah.
Nine times out of ten, because that's your bread and butter, and that's the person that you know that you've been dealing with. So there is that, but I think indies, you know, they have as good a chance as a major for the most part. Mm-hmm. So it depends on the category. You know, rock category, last 2 years shifted over to sales. So once you got the 5 nominees, you pretty well know who's going to win that award by going to SoundScan and looking at the year.
Yeah, the numbers are already in.
Nickelback was going to win this year.
Yeah, that's right.
I hope they go back to a craft category because I think you see some more, you know, people have stopped submitting for the rock category. Not totally, we'll get 20 or 25 a year. But before we were getting 50 and 60 because it was a crafts category, so your peers would vote on it, and you did have a better chance of winning as opposed to Nickelback.
Yeah.
Who I'm surprised they didn't sweep. I was really surprised that Michael Bublé won as many awards as he did.
Right.
So I looked at that, and I thought Nickelback could go right down the line and take every award. So.
No question if it was all based on sales.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, do you think that's Nickelback fatigue, or... just right place, the right time for Bublé.
Yeah, I think right place, right time for Bublé. And maybe some Nickelback fatigue in the industry. I don't think there's Nickelback fatigue in the public at all. You know, the records keep selling better, so.
Yeah, but they're a super hardworking band and they deserve everything they
get. Yeah, they take the Canadian flag around the world, so.
Whether or not you like the music, I mean, I should give them thumbs up all the way. Because they rock, man.
Yeah, and they're very proud Canadians. And they put back in the industry. They started 604 Records, and they're signing new bands. So
yeah, exactly. Back as like well. They put Theory of a Dead Man on the map, mm-hmm. and Chad Kroeger signed him to his label, and they're doing great.
Yep.
And good for all of them. I mean, it's a good scene they got going out there at West.
Yeah, it is.
Let's talk a little bit about satellite radio. Can you tell our listeners a little bit about what's going on in the satellite scene? And you're quoted as saying you think commercial radio is going to suffer in numbers because of satellite. And can you elaborate on that a little bit?
I think it will ultimately. I think commercial radio will become more and more talk and information as more and more people get satellite radio, because it's, you know, both of the services are commercial free music. And if you're a music lover, you're getting 17, 18 songs an hour without, for the most part, chatty DJs. And it's just straight music and it's genre specific. So if you want to listen to the same station from coast to coast, you want to listen to the reggae station from here to Vancouver, you can do that and not be interrupted by commercials. So I think it is going to ultimately hurt commercial terrestrial radio.
Yeah. If someone wants to be an XM satellite customer in the future, what cars do they have to think about buying next time around?
GM? Yeah, amongst others, but GM's our big corporate partner. So, but you can put an XM satellite in any car.
Yeah.
It's pretty simple with a $70 roadie and a little kit.
Now, the relationship between XM and Sirius, is it healthy competition, do you think? Who's winning out in Canada? Do you think your hockey gives you an advantage? How's that race going?
I think the race is pretty neck and neck right now. And it's healthy competition. They are the competition, but as long as people are talking about satellite radio, then, you know, we go out and do panels together across the country at different, you know, at the East Coast Music Awards or Canadian Music Week and things like that. So as long as we're talking about satellite, it's up to the listener to decide which one they want. And there's certain features on both networks that appeal to, you know, every different individual person. So
sure. Nothing helps a McDonald's on a street corner more than a Burger King opening across the street.
Exactly. I think when we get hockey exclusively in the 2007 season. Right now we both share hockey.
Yeah.
But in 2007 it's ours exclusively. So that might tip the scales over our way a bit.
After I first heard satellite radio in January, I swore, and I still swear today, never to listen to FM radio again. I mean, on my way here, I kind of had to. I just popped the CD out, and it's just like, to me, there's no choices, no real choices, as opposed to, you know, you've got 100 plus stations where you can pick, you know, five rock stations, or more than that. Usually it's about 15 or so between Sirius and XM. And if you want R&B or whatever, it's just, you know, very specific for any listener, and it's amazing.
And I think the program directors, for the most part, are incredibly adventurous and listen to music and love music, and they're not looking at the charts. They're not listening to indie promoters. They're just hearing records and saying that song fits.
And a lot of these program directors and DJs can promote, you know, some of their local, even friends' music and stuff like that.
Sure.
But as long as it's good. Because I've been introduced to so many new acts that I'll just jot down when I'm in front of my computer and then, you know, go to the website, buy the CD. It's such a great promotional tool as opposed to the top 40 that you always hear on terrestrial, which, you know, it gets old,
tired.
It gets boring, you know.
We've been playing Galore for 3 months, and it was the third most spun song on the station on 52, which is our Canadian English language alternative
unsigned.
Station.
Mm-hmm.
Third most spun song last month, and that we
awesome.
Picked it up as an unsigned artist.
Yeah. Now, as far as independent bands being spun on XM radio, what's the process to get on rotation, for example, without having a publicist or a label?
They can just send it directly to the station.
Yeah.
You know, Kara Jeff Leak, who's our program director, and if Leak likes it and it fits the format, it's, you know, it's that simple.
Yeah.
You know, bands stopped me at Canadian Music Week and said, can I show you my video? It's like, sure. They stopped me in the lobby, showed me the video,
mm-hmm.
gave me a copy of their 5-song demo. I thought it was great. I played it for Jeff, mm-hmm. and it was on later that week.
Great.
Great band called Murder City Sparrows out of Edmonton.
Oh, awesome.
And now we're spinning it heavy, and they're getting some response on MySpace. And
great. That's really good to know.
It's a win-win for everyone. So.
Yeah, it's like radio used to be,
mm-hmm.
where the DJ really controlled his programming,
yep.
as opposed to from some ivory tower where, you know, every radio station that is part of this company is going to play these 30 songs.
Paid yeah. for by...
Yeah.
We do have repetition on a lot of our songs because we're trying to build recognizability as well. So
yeah.
You can't hear a song once and get it. You have to play it, you know, 30 times a week or whatever. But
yeah, they say...
But when you're playing 17 songs an hour, it's a lot easier to play something 30, 40 times a week than it is on terrestrial.
Mm-hmm. Now, what about the DJ thing? Because part of the sell for satellite radio is get rid of those babbling DJs talking about their prostate problems or whatever. Do you ever see the day of, like, the Wolfman Jack where, you know, people do listen for the opinion and insight of the actual DJ? Do you see that day coming again?
Yeah, I do. When, you know, when Dylan shows on, I think people are going to listen to Dylan next month as Dylan, as a DJ. So there will be that. But for the most part, our DJs are just, you know, as I said, two breaks an hour and just shortened to the point. You know, that was 16 mil from Vancouver. You don't even have to backsell it because it's on your radio anyways.
That's right.
Coming up is 16 mil, or here's Jets Overhead who are on tour with OLP across North America. If you're in Des Moines, they're playing tonight. Because we don't talk about being in Toronto. We don't even talk about it being a Canadian station. Because we realize there's as many people in New Mexico listening as there are in Toronto. So we're very North American-centric and try not to be talking about the weather in Toronto or the Blue Jays because...
Right.
No one really cares.
Yeah, that's right.
And that's not what satellite's about. Satellite's just about the music and then talk on the other stations.
Now, if you've got someone who's hot that you're playing on Unsigned, which the program
the
format...
The name's about to change.
Oh, to?
The Verge.
Okay.
As of April 17th.
Okay.
Unsigned was what the station was before. That's what the bandwidth we picked up. And it just takes a while to go through the process of actually changing the name. So Unsigned was a bit of a misnomer.
Okay, so... So explain exactly what the format is for that station then.
As Jeff likes to say, Jeff Leake is the program director, or the music director, it's true alternative. It goes from Jeremy Fisher to Alexis on Fire, from Jason Collette to Marianas Trench, from Mellowgrove Band to Sloan. Mm-hmm. Just whatever's new, emerging now. We don't play a lot of gold at all. Mm-hmm. You're not going to hear Rush. You're not going to hear Max Webster. You're not going to hear Tom Cochran. You can hear new, emerging now.
And purely Canadian? Is it 100% Canadian format or 70%?
It's 100% Canadian that we're playing with a few exceptions. We're recording live now at our studios on Avenue Road in Davenport. So if Richard Ashcroft comes through town and wants to come in and play acoustic, which he did last week, he's more than welcome, and we'll air that because we only have to play 85% Canadian.
Right.
But during our music, we are playing 100% unless those circumstances come up.
Mm-hmm. And then when you're in Washington, XM's headquarters, do you talk to them about what's hot from that station? And does that translate into Canadian artists finding their way into other XM satellite programming?
That's a big part of my job as Director of Canadian Talent Development, is to talk to the U.S. programmers and get them to play the stuff that we're playing on 52 on their various stations. Or the stuff that we can't play on 52 that doesn't fit, the Corb Lunds of the world or the Jane Bennett's or all the different genres. And I'm just starting to build with those relationships with those PDs and trying to discover Canadian music for them that they might not otherwise get.
Let's go back to talking about Galore, because we're going to close the show with a Galore tune.
Okay.
What is it about their music that you think's make them a candidate for the next big thing?
I just think it's just straight ahead, you know, very 70s inspired rock and roll, and they can all play, and it's just very from the heart. It's not corporate. It's not trying to be anything it's not. It's just what they are, and they just live and breathe rock and roll, and I think it comes out in the music.
Okay, introduce She's an Elevator for us. Tell the listeners how you feel about that song.
She's an Elevator. It's a great song, produced by Mo Berg from Galore's album that comes out this week. Here they are, Galore.
Down to your scene, she's black boots, blue eyes, and bad news. She's all wild as the wind, she'll blow you down. She'll breathe you in, she'll smoke you. You've been choking, she's dancing while you're collapsing.
She's not the one,
broken hearted.
Oh,
oh, oh, oh, that's so overrated. what you had. Oh, that's what she said. My king now, self-inviting killer cool. What do I get from riding this roller coaster over and over?
Come on, come on,
get me started.
She's not the one.
It's broken hearted.
Oh, oh, oh,
well, that's overrated.
Come on, come on,
make me chase her.
She'll cut you sharper.
Listening to the Toronto Indie Scene, an IndieCan music production.
For more information on the artists featured on today's show, visit IndieCan.com.